Awesome, awesome. Yeah, bless you for being here today. Imagine if all the believers in Kaikoui were gathering today and worshiping God together. I mean, imagine that, the presence of God. Oh, that would be so cool. That would be wonderful. I keep getting over and over again that there's going to be a powerful move of God and sovereign. Just when people are worshiping, God's going to sovereignly touch people's lives. I love it when a whole bunch of people all come together to worship God. It's like an open heaven over the place. And, you know, when we were in Christchurch the other day, just worshiping there with hundreds and hundreds of people, it's so powerful. And you just feel God speaking to you, God showing you things. It is just like that open heaven over the place. And that corporate anointing is powerful. So I really, it's just so encouraged to see you all today. You're not just braving the storm. I think you're awesome. You're awesome. But I got you to jump up and say hi to somebody because, as Mike said, when I first started coming to church, I was so shy that I would come late when the service started and I would leave before it finished so that nobody would greet me. So I thought, oh, yeah, let's catch anybody by surprise today that might be a bit like that and make sure that somebody greets you, kisses you, hugs you, something before you get to go. I was going to share this morning on the power of our words. But this morning, I was up early, and I felt the Lord change some things. So I will share a bit on the power of words, but a few other things as well. And I feel like there's four things that the Lord wants me to touch on this morning, and I feel like within those four, there's going to be some really specific words for some different people. So we're going to go for 3 points out of the book of James, and then I'm going to share a personal testimony. So I'm just going to pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for your presence here with us. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for the things that you've put on my heart to share. Lord, even the things last minute. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to be able to bring them across, Lord, and communicate them in a way, Lord, that that the messages that you want to the right people today would really get across. And Lord, I just ask your anointing. And Father, I pray, Lord, that despite how it comes across and what I say, Lord, I ask that you would sovereignly speak to each person in this place something powerful, edifying, encouraging, helpful, something that's going to bring great blessing into their lives. I ask for each one of us today in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're in the book of James. James is Jesus's half-brother. And scholars reckon that James didn't become a believer until after Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to him. And I always look at that and think, that's amazing. I mean, how could you have Jesus as your half-brother, you know, like be brought up in the same home and not realize? I mean, surely he would have noticed that he never sinned. You know, and then not to mention his incredible knowledge. You know, when he was 12 years old, he was, just amazing all those scholars with his understanding and his wisdom and his knowledge. And then the miracles. I mean, the miracles would be pretty hard to deny. But we read in, it's in John 7, you know, that it says that the brothers, they just ridiculed him. They didn't believe. And they were saying like, oh, you got to stop hiding here, you know, go out there for people to see the miracles. And they just didn't believe. And then we see in Mark, Jesus talks about the unbelief in his own family and with his own relatives. Amazing, eh? So I look at James and I think, wow, you know, when Jesus rose from the dead and then he appeared to James, his half-brother, and James became an amazing leader in the church. He became the leader in the church in Jerusalem. And we end up with this beautiful book. And in there's some really neat things. And I read it just sort of in the light of, you know, Jesus's half-brother, and, you know, what does he choose to speak to us about? And the very first thing he covers is trials, tribulations, going through troubles. They say that James was possibly one of the first books, early books written, and probably just soon after Stephen was stoned. You know, for those early believers who were facing a lot of persecution. So, you know, when we read about trials and struggles and troubles, he says something interesting. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." You know, that just helps put our challenges and trials and things in perspective, doesn't it? You know, if you're one of your closest mates has just been stoned to death and they're after you, sort of puts our troubles in a bit of a different light. But he says, consider it pure joy, you know. And I felt to just share a little bit around this, because some people this week have had a really incredibly challenging week. I just feel that the Lord wants us to put our struggles, our challenges in perspective, you know, like not being happy about, you know, the painful things that we're dealing with, but just to consider that the troubles that we face, they are going to produce some really good things in our lives. You know, God is doing a work. He encourages us in our hard times, and there are opportunities to grow. And I just feel like the Lord wants for some of us today to just, the tough things, you know, just see it from a different perspective. The challenges that you're going through, just change your attitude and just allow God to work in your life. Allow Him to do what He wants to do in your character and bring maturity. You know, often when we're under pressure, we see what we're really made of. You know, it's testing, and I hate pressure. I'm very phleggy, so I hate, you know, we don't like the pressure. If we can just remember that God's doing a work, you know, He's doing a work in our character. He's doing a maturing thing in our lives. He's not all about just us having a little happy life in Pleasantsville. You know, He's about doing a work in us. We're the bride of Christ. He's about doing a work, equipping us, preparing us. He wants His power to be flowing through His church at this time into our families and into our community. So He's doing a good work. You know, let's embrace the things that are happening and change our attitude, and all right, Holy Spirit, have your way. I want to grow my character, mature. I want to teach me what you need to teach me, please, quickly, you know. just help me to change, whatever. So I felt like, you know, for somebody that was something to share with some people just today who will be able to relate to really going through some struggles. And I just felt the Holy Spirit wanted to say that to you. The second thing, it's actually in the next chapter. It's James goes on to talk about the importance of having living faith. You know, we need to be, our lives should always be changing. Not staying the same. Our faith needs to be demonstrated with actions, the way that we live. And, you know, and if that isn't happening, then our faith isn't genuine. James refers to Abraham, and he talks about in Genesis 15:6, that passage that says that Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. And yeah, and that is awesome. But he also goes on to say, just to bring a little bit more clarity, he also goes on to say, but it's not faith alone isn't enough, because he says that the demons, they believe, they have faith, and they stay unchanged, but they tremble in fear. So just faith alone isn't enough. There's got to be actions in our lives. Our lives have got to be changing. There's got to be evidence of God, of what we believe. It's got to flow out into our lives. It says, don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions? when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God and was count, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. Verse 24, but you see, we're shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. And I just felt that, you know, just a word for some of us today is that Holy Spirit wants to remind us about the whole Word of God, you know, that he wants to do a powerful work in our lives, and not to take an isolated scripture, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You know, Abraham believed God. You know, these are powerful verses, but we can't just pull them out and base our have that as our foundation and live our Christian life through that. You know, we have to really take notice of the whole Word of God, and God's wanting to do a sanctifying work in our lives. He's wanting to change us. You know, he's wanting us to continue growing. He wants to move, you know, like we need a change so much for Holy Spirit to flow through us and for his power to be flowing through us to the extent that he wants us to. You know, because if we haven't got the character and if we're in compromise and sin, we're going to blow the mission when the power of God comes on us. You know, we'll get into deception, we'll get into pride, all sorts of stuff. You know, and I just felt like that the second thing the Holy Spirit really wanted to say was, you know, don't take any isolated verses and use them to justify an unchanged life. It's a changed life that God wants. You know, he doesn't want us to be having a shallow faith. He wants total lordship, every area of our lives. And I felt the word he wanted to say this morning to some is, if you love me, you'll obey me. And I felt like he's speaking about, it's just time for action. You know, don't justify any area of compromise in your life anymore. You know, come head on, tackle it for what it is. You know, if there's sin, if there's rebellion, if there's compromise, if the Lord's spoken to you about something, it's time. Don't be justifying it in any way. It's time to just come to God and really deal with it. His lordship over your life. And I just felt that was a word for somebody today as well. And then moving on to chapter 3, James, this is where James starts talking about words. And he basically says, if you can control your mouth, you're perfect. That's amazing, eh? I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. It says, for we all stumble and sin in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, never saying the wrong thing, he's a perfect man. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? Fully developed in character, without serious flaws, able to bridle his whole body and ran his entire nature, taming his human faults and weaknesses. Yeah, awesome. I want to tame some human faults and weaknesses. What about you? Yeah, yeah. So perhaps a good place to start is just focusing on the tongue, you know, and some self-control will flow over into some other areas of our lives. James uses two illustrations likening our tongues to small things that change direction. You know, the horse has that bit and bridle, and it means that you can direct the horse where you want it to go just because of that little bit in its mouth, and it's just such a little thing when you have a massive, huge horse. I was talking to a sister of mine yesterday who loves her horses. She's got lots of them, and she was telling me about the 700 kilo mare. What did she call it? Alpha mare, she called it. And it was just really unruly, and nobody else would ride it. And she took it, and I was asking her a bit about bits and bridles. And she said, often people get the wrong idea and they think you have to really break the horse and put a big chunky bit in its mouth, and what she called it, a nose something, I can't remember, but something that's, and be quite harsh and cruel. And but she said her findings are less is better. You don't need anything big and chunky because of where it sits in the horse's mouth. It sits in that really sensitive part. So it actually, you can actually steer it and control it with real gentle movements. And, you know, she's worked with this horse and just amazed the people who had it before, because she can control it and steer it just so easily with this, just by being gentle. And, you know, as she's talking to me, and I was thinking of, you know, the words, because, you know, obviously it's in the chapter talking about words. But I was thinking of that proverb. It says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. You know, she said, if you're rough with the horse, and you will just get a bad reaction, you know, it'll just start rearing up and be difficult to control. But, you know, if you train it and just be gentle, you're going to get a good result. And, you know, that could be a good thing for us as parents. You know, if we're dealing with some pretty ugly rearing up and reactions, maybe we should try a different approach and just try being a little bit more gentle and see if we get a better result. But, you know, because our words, you know, that they're steer. These are talking about steering, bringing direction. You know, the little rudder on that ship, you know, just something really little on a big, massive ship amongst the waves, the wind, and yet it's being able to, you know, the person at the helm's able to change the direction because of that little tiny thing. And, you know, scriptures are likening our tongue to something little, but can change direction, can change the course of direction in a situation by the words that we choose to use. A couple of days ago, somebody shared this with me, and I wanted to share it because I thought it was really powerful. Because, you know, in the whole area of our lives, changing direction, you know, if we want a mountain to move, we need to speak to it. And speaking out is powerful, you know, speaking out. So I was talking to this person, and they were saying about how they were terribly wounded by somebody close to them. And this person's, their actions caused a lot of pain and took this person to quite a dark place. And then a Christian friend told her, what you need to do is every day you need to speak out, I forgive so-and-so for hurting me. And she said to me, I did it. I didn't feel it. I didn't mean it, but I did it. I said it. I spoke it out. And she said, with every day and within a week, she noticed a difference. You know, within 2 weeks, that person didn't control her thoughts anymore. That person, just that the effect of that harm, that pain, that abuse, that stuff had lost its power over her. And not because she was, you know, she didn't wait till the feelings came there, because they probably would never come. When we've been really hurt, they wouldn't. You know, sometimes we just need to choose. And she said to me, it was like I was prophesying. Because I didn't feel it, I was prophesying. And, you know, just as she prophesied into her situation, she got the breakthrough. I thought, wow, what a powerful illustration. Our words are powerful. Powerful, powerful. James goes on to say that while our tongue is small, it's the most dangerous part of the human body. An uncontrolled tongue can do an incredible amount of damage. You know, that tiny spark that can set a whole forest on fire. When we're in children's church, you know, we often teach on this, because little children can be quite unrestrained with the things that they say to one another. And we just use a little illustration of a tube of toothpaste and cover it, you know, write words on it, and then use all the types of things that you hear children say to one another with the attitude, you know, with the emphasis. And while you're doing it, you're squeezing the toothpaste out everywhere and making a big mess, and then tell them, you know, now try, you know, and there's no matter how much you apologize, you know, the words are like that. They do so much damage. There's no way that you would ever be able to retract and get that toothpaste back into that tube. Once those words have gone out, they make a lot of mess, they do a lot of damage, and there's no taking it back. 100 apologies are not going to get that toothpaste mess back into that tube. So it's a little object lesson that we use with children that's quite effective. But, you know, hateful words, angry, careless words, they destroy relationships. An untamed tongue, you know, it'll gossip, complain, put others down, manipulate, lie, flatter, brag, exaggerate. And its destruction can spread really quickly and get out of control. Proverbs, we all know, you know, there's life and death and the power of the tongue, but in the Message Bible, it says like this, it says, words kill, words give life, they're either poison or fruit, you choose. I thought that's pretty interesting. You choose. I had a young girl a while back that was in the school here, beautiful young girl, like just stunningly gorgeous young girl. And I was asked to come in and minister to her because she was in a really bad way. She was suicidal, self-harming. So I came in and met with her, and she was really open. But she was just so broken. You know, she couldn't stop crying. And I just saw how distraught she was, and I was sort of bracing myself for what I was going to hear. Because I thought, you know, she's obviously experienced some pretty horrific abuse. But when she really got to the bottom of the problem, it was just words. You know, I said just words. It was words. It was put-downs by a stepfather, swearing, put-downs, just negative, critical, harsh. And these things are just piled up and piled up and piled up. He was away from God, and she was just a broken young girl that had just got too much for her, and she was having suicide attempts and harming herself. So I got to minister to her, break the power of those words, tell her the truth, lead her to Christ, which was awesome. But I really felt like I needed something more to equip her, because she was going back into that home day after day. She had, you know, she couldn't take control of her stepfather's behavior. She couldn't change that, and she couldn't change her home situation. You know, she was just at school. So I have this lovely Christian friend in Kirikiri, who's a retired counselor. She's had years and years. I don't remember what her degrees are in, but I know she's done years and years of it. She's just beautiful. And she just, if I'm concerned about somebody, you know, like if it's along the lines of suicide or something, because, you know, we love people and we share the gospel. We're not trained counselors, you know, and sometimes I just want to get some, you know, extra counseling for somebody so that they can have some tools to help them through. And I felt that this young girl needed some tools to help her navigate her way through, you know, because she was going back into that home situation. And the lady, what she did with her was quite interesting. She got her to just sit there and imagine some of those words that he had spoken to her. And while she was doing, she was to imagine those sentences like being typed up on a piece of paper in front of her. And she looked at it, and then she was to screw it up and hear that paper, you know, with her imagination, hear that paper being scrunched up and then throw it into the bin or into a fire. And then the key was immediately replacing it with some truth. she said that was the key. And she said, now that you're a child of God, you can replace it with some truth from the Word of God, how God sees you. You can replace it with some promises from God. But a big key is you've got to replace it straight away. And, you know, I just thought that girl is just doing so well today. Yeah, praise the Lord. She's doing so well, you know. But she put it into practice. She did the things that she needed to do. She took the time. She went through. She got along with God, and she did some. Because we know about you know, how important it is to bring every thought captive and to renew our mind. But we need to actually do it. You know, not, and if things are just getting on top of us, we need to get into that place with God. And really see those things removed and replaced. So I just felt that might have been a word for somebody today too. Just knowing, just being reminded. I felt like, you know, it was a reminder to somebody who really knows these things and knows them well, but still, because of the amount of them, has just been feeling a spiral. And they've just been getting on top of you. And I just felt like today that was going to be a little reminder and a practical tool for you to take away this week. Put it into practice and you see a dramatic change in your life. So, so those are the few things that I was going to share. But I want to just share with you lastly a testimony of something that happened to me at Conference. And like I say, it was beautiful, wasn't it? Those of us who went, it was beautiful, just worshiping God with hundreds and hundreds of people, and just the things that, you know, Holy Spirit would speak to you through the ministry times, and and through the Word and through the worship. It was like you were just God was just talking to you all the time. And I remember the first night Murray was speaking, and it was at the end. I just saw such a clear picture of an angel just ushering me into the presence of God. You know, just welcoming me in to the presence of God. And I knew that I was only being ushered in purely because of what Jesus did for me. I knew I wasn't being ushered in because of any of my goodness, right? You know, it was just purely because I was His, I was able to go in. And I kept seeing this same vision. You know, I saw it the next morning, I saw it the next session, I saw it. And then I got a little bit frustrated because I thought, I'm only seeing it so far. And I got back to the where we were staying, and I said, so what's next? What's in there? What's in there for me? I'm only getting so far. What's in there for me? And the instant I asked, the picture is so clear. I just saw standing like this, holding a giant's head and a headless body on the ground. And I just, the Lord started speaking to me, you know, in there, in that place of intimacy, in the Holy of Holies, there's victory, you know, there's overcoming, there's there's conquering, there's just, exciting things, there's just miracles, supernatural stuff. This is the place, right in here, this is the real place where the battle's won, you know, that's where, and just, you know, just reminding me, you know, just not to lose heart, you know, but to just get in there and really have those times and fight my battles in there, and that is where I'll see amazing things happen. So I then went back and I started reading 1 Samuel again, you know, with David and Goliath, and there was a couple of things that stood out to me that, you know, you read things and this is probably, you know, like, probably stuff that stood out to a lot of you ages ago, but anyway, it was my revelation just recently. I didn't sort of really think so much about this, but you know, for 40 days, every morning and every night, Goliath strutted in front of the Israelite army, taunting them. You know, with shouts, with sarcasm, mocking, insults, you know, so that stuff was the last thing that they heard at night and the first thing that they heard in the morning. You know, I sort of went past that before when I've read it. And it says, they ran in fear because of what they heard. the Israelites ran in fear. But we see when Goliath sneered at David in contempt and cursed him and intimidated him, I love this, he ran towards him. Ran towards him. Yeah, David ran towards him. They, you know, like most of the Israelites who'd, well, all of them who'd heard all that taunting day after day, 40 days, morning and night, they were just paralyzed with the fear. You know, they were running from the battle. But David, just little, he ran to it. And not in his own strength, he ran to it and he says, I come to you in the name of heaven's armies. Today the Lord will conquer you and I'll cut off your head. Awesome, eh? Yeah, and I just feel like God wants to remind us of, you know, things that we've heard before, we know obvious things that are right in front of us. A little bit like, you know, I was thinking of James, you know, how when James was, you know, being his young, Jesus' younger brother, you know, sometimes things are right in front of us and we miss it. You know, there's some simple things in here today that I'm sharing, really simple things, but I feel like sometimes they're right in front of us and we miss them, you know, and we just need a little bit of a reminder. And I just felt like that was what Holy Spirit wants to, because, you know, at first I thought that's for me, but it's for more. It's for more of us. It's for a lot more of us. You know, a lot of us are facing challenges. A lot of us have giants that we're dealing with. And we've had a lot of the taunting and we've had a lot of the negativity and we've had a lot of the stuff coming at us morning and night that makes us feel intimidated and a little part of us wants to retreat. But I feel that Holy Spirit wants to remind us today that we need to put our trust in God, not be retreating, but to be running forward. Let's go into the battle. Let's choose to take, you know, to go after him, not wait and not let him paralyze us because of what we hear, but instead put our trust in God and let's run into the battle and get the victory, because it'll be us there holding the head of the giant. And, you know, and it's in that prayer, in that place of intimacy, in that place of, you know, we can talk about these things and we can know them, but we have to do them. We have to do them. You know, we have to get in and just where there's nobody else around and get right into the presence of God. Let him speak to us. Let him show us things. Let him teach us how to fight. Teach us, show us things that we need to know, and deal with all the negativity and all the why we can't and why it won't work, and, you know, tear down all those things and just have just that faith rise up in our heart, that faith. And it's cool, eh? Yeah, I come to you in the name of heaven's armies. Today the Lord will conquer you. Yeah. And then for us, and I'll cut off your head. Whoa. Whoa. So, you know, I just really want to encourage you this week. Get some time aside, you know, start speaking in tongues, you know, start with 5 minutes if you're out of the habit of really getting into that place of real intimacy with God. Start somewhere. Start this week. And I felt the word that I just want to close on this morning is Isaiah 54. And it says, but in the coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, I thank you, Father, for things that you're speaking to us about, the things that you're showing us. Lord, if we're one of those that need to change our attitude towards the trials and the struggles that we're going through and to see them in a different light, Lord, and just let you work in developing our character. Lord, Father, I just, yeah, we just say, bring it on, Lord, bring it on. Have your way in our lives. And Lord, if there's areas where we've been compromising, Lord, where you've been speaking to us in the past, and now's the time that we really need to take action. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would just right now, Lord, that the people that word is for, Father, I pray, Lord, they would feel a stirring in their heart. Lord, that they would know that that's the word that you have for them today. Lord, I thank you, Father, Lord, for the your word, Lord, the life and death, the power of the tongue. Lord, Father, if we need to make some changes in the way that we speak, Father, to change the directions of situations and circumstances, Lord, I pray, Father, for a fresh Holy Spirit and filling, a fresh empowering today. Lord, your word says that if we lack wisdom, we just need to ask and that you will give it. Father, we ask for wisdom today. Lord, we ask, Father, new wisdom, Father, for the words that we speak. Lord, Father, I pray that we would be ones that speak life, ones that prophesy into situations, Father, and we see the direction of things around us shifting, changing. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would move in our lives powerfully, Father, in the whole area of warfare. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would be a people, Father, that don't shrink back and that we don't pull back and we don't get intimidated, Lord, Father, but we'll run. We'll trust in you, Lord, and we'll run into the battle and we'll confront these things head on, Lord, in that place of intimacy with you, Lord. And Father, I thank you that for victories. I thank you, Lord, Father, for breakthroughs. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the schemes and the strategies and the plans that the enemy has for our lives being destroyed. Father, because I thank you that you're raising up a mighty army. Lord, a mighty army that's able to contain your anointing. Lord, to have your power, Lord, flowing through us. So, Lord, I know that we need to do a lot of changing. So have your way. Have your way in our lives. And Lord, just in those areas, Father, I pray, Lord, just as we go from here today, Lord, the area that you most want us to work on, to address, Lord, I pray that it wouldn't get away from us. We would just be reminded constantly, Father, Lord, and we'd be a people that are doers of your word, not just hearers. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Amen.